Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we have another UFC pay-per-view this weekend. UFC 312 goes down live this Saturday in Sydney, Australia. I think it's in Sydney, Australia. I know it's in Australia for certain, as Dricus du Plessis defends his middleweight championship against Sean Strickland in a rematch just about 1 year removed from their last bout. So we're going to be covering all 13 fights on that card as of February 5th. The whole card is intact with 13 fights, but we'll have to see what happens in the next few days building up to it. We also have our official Super Bowl prediction on today's episode. I'll either be picking the Eagles or the Chiefs. There's no in between. So, do I go with Patrick Mahomes or do I go with Saquon Barkley? We'll have to see when we get to it. Also going to be doing our NHL check-in. We're doing it a little different this season when it comes to the NBA and NHL. We're doing an NBA check-in on one episode and NHL check-in on another. In previous years, we had done them both on the same episode. New UFC fights have been announced. New things in pop culture. We have so many new things. Guys, I've been so busy, you know, being the marketing club president. I also am just a comedic head coach for my boys' hockey team. I have meetings all the time. I have class. I'm a student. I got other stuff to do. I'm so busy. But you know what? I got to find time to record this podcast to bring you guys entertainment. That's what we're all about. So let's get right on into today's episode with some new UFC news. And I have no idea what is going on, but there are rumors circulating that Michael Chandler is going to take on Armin Tsarukyan at UFC 314 in Miami, Florida. That is the same card that we are rumored to be having Ilia Topuria versus Alexander Volkanovski too. If that is true, that is a massive, massive fight. I hope it is. Truly, truly, I hope it is. That would be so, so intense. Armin versus Chandler. I don't understand how Chandler keeps getting high prolific fights after losing, but that's just how good Michael Chandler is. Also in the news, John Jones, as of February 5th, has tweeted that he has some big news coming tomorrow. I am recording this portion on February 5th, so everything that transpires on February 6th when this drops, I will not be aware of. So is he announcing his fight with Tom Aspinall? I am really hoping so. Or is he just announcing some random thing going on in his life? We'll have to see. But I do hope that he does fight Tom Aspinall and we get a fight announcement for it. And if he is announcing it, I mean, they don't announce out super far. So this would either be 315, 316, 317. So within the next five events, which would be pretty, pretty exciting. But we've had tons of new fights being announced. I don't even know where to begin. A couple of them a little bit lower level, but let's go through them. First one at heavyweight at UFC Vegas 105, going down April 5th at the UFC Apex, as Kennedy Nchukwu is back in action as he takes on Martin Boudet. Martin Boudet, 14-2. He is 5-1 in the UFC, hasn't fought in since Shamil Gaziev beat him senseless in a two-round TKO. As for Kennedy, he's gone 2-0 since moving up to heavyweight. Good stuff so far. He's beaten Chris Barnett, and he beat somebody else. Last time out, he knocked them out. Someone I just honestly can't put my name on. But nonetheless, Kennedy back in action. Excited to see it. And I predict he beats Martin Boudet. I mean, he's looked good since moving to heavyweight. It feels like a natural weight class for him. Another one for you. This one, March 15th at UFC Vegas 104. Of course, at the Apex Arena. Featherweight action as Kevin Vallejos, 14-1, makes his UFC debut as he takes on the 10-fight UFC veteran, Sungwoo Choi. Sungwoo Choi, you know, 4-6 in the UFC. Holds wins over Yusuf Zalal and Julian Arosa. So he's been pretty mediocre. He gets finished often. I'll probably be backing Kevin Vallejos in this one, but it's really hard to tell. You know, he's coming off of the US Contender Series, but you never know how those guys perform once they actually get into the octagon. So we'll have to see, but should be an exciting fight. Here's one for you. UFC London going down in London, England, March 22nd. Lightweight action as Jordan Vukovic is back in action. The 13-3 fight veteran lost his UFC debut to Guram Kudeladze. Okay, that's a tough, tough son of a B. He takes on Chris Duncan. Chris is back in action. 3-1 in the UFC. Holds wins over Bellagio Key, Charlie Campbell, and Yanal Ashmovs. These are both two game fighters. I'm definitely backing Jordan, though. Dude, he is tattooed head to toe in tattoos. He's got tattoos up to his neck, in his ear, on his cheek. We'll see if he can use all that tattoo power to get a victory, which I think he can. Another one for you here. How about UFC Mexico in Mexico City, Mexico, March 29th of this year, as gifted Rafa Garcia, who's 4-4 in the UFC, coming off of a loss. I can't remember who Rafa lost to. Was it Chase Hooper? He lost to someone. Takes on Joaquim Silva. Joaquim back in action. He is probably most known for having a pretty, you know, giving Armin Tsarukyan a run for his money, clipping him with a pretty good punch in the second round of their fight. I'm backing Rafa Garcia in this one, but this is a matchup between two fight veterans. I mean, a 31-year-old and a 36-year-old. Someone's reaching the end of their career. Only the winner will prevail. Here's one for that UFC Vegas 104 card on March 15th as well. Welterweight action as Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos is back in action. The 15-fight UFC veteran takes on Chidi Inchukani. Chidi's been less than impressive since moving to welterweight from middleweight, and especially taking on someone of Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos' caliber, I am not backing him personally to win this fight, but I do still think it will be entertaining nonetheless. I mean, it's tough. It's tough when you're taking on lower-level guys and then you get to someone of Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos' level. I mean, we know how good he is. That dude fights with a purpose, and I'll be excited to see it. But that's all the new official news that we got, unfortunately. Here's a little bonus excerpt for you. March 29th, apparently KSI versus Dylan Danis has been announced for a boxing match. Now, the real question is, do we think that's actually going to happen? Absolutely not. I think Dylan Danis is going to pull out. You can always bet your money. You can bet your money on two things, that is taxes and Dylan Danis pulling out of a fight. So that's all your new for UFC fight news. I think we're going to get some big, big announcements over the next couple days. I mean, Jon Jones, make an announcement. We'll have to see. Also, going on in the world pop culture. A lot of stuff going on in pop culture, a lot of exciting stuff. Here are top 10 new headlines in the pop culture department. First up, we have the Jurassic Park Rebirth trailer. It is good. It looks really, really good. Let me just tell you, they have this new hybrid dinosaur. You get Mahershala Ali, Scarlett Johansson, the other lead, and it looks really good. It's building a new taste from the past few films. It's taking us back to those scary roots. Like, the last film didn't feel scary. You could even argue that the last three haven't really felt scary, but this one is definitely going to be getting back to it. I'm excited to see them go back to this world. And the fact that it isn't necessarily, they're not, like, remaking it, but they're extending the franchise, I'm excited to see where they go with it, and I have pretty good faith in the movie. But I mean, wow, just the trailer looks very exciting, looks very intense, and the CGI is looking on point. Number two, Ben Affleck will move forward with his kidnapping thriller Animals, which he will direct and now also star in as the lead. Matt Damon was initially meant to star, but had to drop out due to scheduling conflicts. Gillian Anderson has joined the cast. She is the mother of Otis from Sex Education, if you're wondering who that actress is. We've had some new posters for Captain America Brave New World drop, as that comes out next week. I think it's February 14th. Yeah, it comes out Valentine's Day. I have no interest in it. You know, Lexi does, but I just don't. There's just no real excitement. Like, this movie doesn't get me excited about anything. I don't know. I'm waiting for some big blockbuster film like Fantastic Four. That's something that I'm looking forward to. Number four, the first three episodes of Invincible Season 3 have released tomorrow. Very interesting. Invincible Season 3 has a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes as of right now, and I am intrigued. I'm definitely going to check this out. It's one of my favorite animated shows. And by the way, I don't have any animated shows besides this one. This one is really good. You just have to trust me. They have some new villains. We have some new heroes. We have a new suit for Invincible. This is going to be damn good. And I mean, come on. Three seasons in, what, 4 years? I mean, they really need to step up the game. But thankfully, we haven't had to wait too long to see season three. Number five, first look at The Rivals of Amziya King, starring Matthew McConaughey in his first lead role in years. Years, wow. The crime thriller follows a man who oversees the premier honey-making operation in town, but everything he has built is soon threatened. Well, it's Matthew McConaughey kicking butt. That's all you need to know, which I'm sure could be pretty entertaining. I mean, it's Matthew McConaughey. Who doesn't love a little Matthew McConaughey? I don't know. It's not striking me as a theater film, but certainly something that I would give some thought process to. Number six, first teaser for the new Smurfs movie starring Rihanna as Smurfette. The trailer will release tomorrow. Yeah, going to be honest, I have no interest in that, but the old Smurf movies I really liked when they blended the CGI with the real stuff. I'm in. Number seven, Baby Reindeer creator and star Richard Gadd has begun filming his new HBO show, Half Man. The series follows the relationship between a pair of estranged brothers over the span of 40 years. This is the same guy that directed and starred in a movie about his own life, Baby Reindeer. This dude is a freak. That's all you need to know. This dude's been through a lot in his life, but this dude is a kinky freak. I don't know if he's gay, if he's transsexual. He's something. I'll be curious to see how his show does once it releases. Harrison Ford says he is still happy he made Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny despite it being a box office fail. He says, stuff happens. I was really the one who felt there was another story to tell. It's okay. It's okay. I've never seen one of your movies, but I trust that it was good. I truly trust that it was good. Well, I have no idea. I have nothing to say. I've heard the video game was good. I'm not going to play the video game, but I've heard the video game was good. I've heard nothing but positive reviews about all of this stuff. Number 9, yeah, a bunch of stuff about Jurassic World. We have a new show for a live-action Gundam movie. And I think Gundam is an anime, maybe? I don't know, but it shows someone shooting through the earth. It looks like they're on fire. That has to have some form of meaning. Doesn't to me, but hey, that's just me. And number 10, the final new headline in pop culture. And to talk about here. I mean, the Fantastic Four trailer did drop, and it looks fantastic. Julia looks fantastic. This is definitely a movie I would want to see in theaters. Galactus looks like an intimidating villain. We have these new characters that we're going to be introduced to, and we're going to be learning about their backstory, which I don't know if this is the backstory for them. It's almost like they just gained their powers, which is why I think it's called First Steps, but I don't know. The direction is unclear at the moment. I know some people are upset with some of the designs right now, but I'm not too bothered. I'm not too bothered by anything at the moment. I am very confident. I'm going to be optimistic because I'm an optimistic person. And I think if you're an optimistic person, you can get through life just about peachy clean. I don't know, whatever words you want to use. Those are your top 10 new headlines in pop culture. I'll tell you what other headlines are going on, and that is the NHL world. That is right, the NHL world of all places is also going on. So let's take a look at the standings and discuss what is happening. Kicking us off in the Eastern Conference, your best team is the Capitals with 77 points, a 35-11-7 record. They've been on fire. 7-1-2 over the last 10. They're the top dogs. No one else in the East is in the 70-point category. In second, you do have the Hurricanes, 32-18-4. They have 68 points. They are on a two-game losing streak, though, so unfortunate for them. At 67, you do have the Florida Panthers, 32-20-3. They're coming off of a loss. Some other interesting ones, the Red Wings are on a seven-game winning streak despite having a negative 8-point differential. They're at 61 points now. They've been turning their season around. The Sabres, who are the worst team in the Atlantic Division, 22-26-5, they're on a four-game winning streak. And after being 2-8 over the last 10, they're now 6-4, so good for them. In the Metropolitan Division, Flyers, 23-25-7, they are only at 53 points on the year and are on a four-game losing streak. Devils, they're at 66 points, Blue Jackets at 59. The season rages on, but you're already at a point where teams are at 55, 56, 54 games played. You're reaching that final 30-game stretch. You actually are in it, so we're going to see who's going to pull away and who's going to kind of fade back. But the best team in the entire league is the Winnipeg Jets, 38-14-3. They have 79 points, 8-2 over the last 10. They're on a seven-game heater. They have been on an incredible run. The Minnesota Wild, 66 points, are third in the Central Division, and I believe are fifth in the Western Conference, somewhere around there. They are on a little two-game skid, though. They have a 0% point differential. 155 goals scored, 155 goals allowed. Yikes. Blackhawks, 16-31-5, are still the worst team in the NHL. All right, they're actually not the worst team in the NHL. You have the Sharks, who are 15-34-6. So while both the bottom teams of last year have not improved at all. Edmonton Oilers are also in the 70-point club, coming off of a win, 33-16-4. They've been doing fantastic. Golden Knights are at 68 points. They are on a four-game losing streak, though, which has hurt their chances. Actually, the Oilers passed them, I believe, for the lead in the Pacific Division. Flames are at 59, Canucks at 59. I mean, there is some separation here. It's clear to see. Avalanche are at 64. You also have the Dallas Stars. They're second in the Central Division with 69 points, 34-18-1. Only one overtime loss. Who's the most overtime losses? Canucks have 11 in the West. That's definitely got to be the most. Yeah, oh my goodness. The least, the Maple Leafs only have two overtime. Actually, the Stars, who we just talked about, one overtime loss. But everyone has lost a game in overtime. Interesting stuff all around. You know, the Sharks, they're on a two-game losing streak, 2-8 in their last 10. They are just bad. They're bad. Sharks, Blackhawks, swimming at the bottom of the pile. I guess you have the Sabres down there, but even the Sabres and Flyers, they aren't even that bad. No, I've been paying a bit more attention to hockey just because I'm in a fancy hockey league with all my buddies, but I just, you know, it's not my sport. We all have our sports. MMA just happens to be my sport. That's my forte. You know, as for hockey, that's all my buddies' forte. And, you know, I'm actually excited because tonight they have a big hockey game and I'm the coach and I cooked up a nice pregame speech, something to rally the boys, get them all juiced up and going. And I'm hoping it really gets the boys buzzing. That's my goal for this one. But that's really all I got for the NHL. I can't really go as in-depth as the NBA as I'm, you know, the NBA, I have decent knowledge to an extent, but NHL, I'm shooting blank, guys. I'm shooting blanks. I'm a 50-year-old man with his young lover. I'm just shooting blanks, you know? That's a weird comparison there. But, yes, that's all you need to know about the NHL. The Wild are in the hunt. in the hunt. Maybe if they can actually do something in the playoffs, they'll have success. But as for now, we'll just leave them be. But now let's talk about what we're all wondering. Who is Zachary going to pick for the Super Bowl? You already know it's going to be a close matchup. Chiefs and Eagles both have 17 wins on the year, impeccably enough. And it's tough. It's a rematch. I just couldn't care less. I think that's the main issue, is I could care less. There's just no excitement. There's really no excitement whatsoever. One fun thing, one fascinating thing, I think, is just how expensive it is to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, tickets to go to the Super Bowl are off the charts. And it's in New Orleans. I feel like we always have a Super Bowl in New Orleans at the Caesars Superdome. Coming up this upcoming Sunday, I mean, pretty much everything is going for a grand. I mean, we're in the nosebleeds. Like, the very back of the stadium, $3,000. $3,000. If you wanted to sit in row 132, which is right behind the end zone, you would be forking over $5,616, which isn't actually that bad compared to paying. I guess $2,000 is a big difference, but I would much rather pay $50,000 and be closer than pay $3,000 and be not close at all. And all the suites go for super high amounts, but the Super Bowl is just one big, I don't know, it's just not what it used to be. You know, it doesn't even feel about football. It's about ads and the performance. You got Kendrick Lamar at the halftime. I'm not a Kendrick guy. I'm not a Kendrick Lamar guy. That's just not me. Also, if SZA there, I think my girlfriend likes SZA. Lexi definitely does. I wonder what other special guests will bring up. They always do weird symbolism, too. You know, me and Ryan were talking about this. They're always doing weird hand symbols and stuff. I'm always a bit construed. But nonetheless, let's just do our prediction. We don't need to pussyfoot around it, as the old saying goes. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Okay, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I'm rooting for the Eagles, but I mean, the Chiefs are inevitable. The Chiefs, it doesn't feel like the Eagles are the team. Like, we're going to reference WrestleMania 40 when Cody Rhodes was the guy to bring down Roman Reigns. Okay, this is not that situation. The Eagles are just not the team to defeat the Chiefs and end their reign of terror. I just don't see it happening, especially the league wants them to win. There's just something about the Chiefs. And I mean, they're the favorites as of right now. I think the Eagles are at plus 240 right now or something. I don't know, but they're actually plus 175. Well, I don't have to see, but I mean, final score prediction, I'll say 34-30. Chiefs get it done. We see a final game-winning drive fall short for our Philadelphia Eagles. Mind-blanking on them. It's just, I just couldn't care. I could care less. I'm printing some bingo cards, which is going to be fun. Other than that, I'm just going to enjoy being with my friends. We're going to have a little potluck, have a good time. I'm going to have more fun with my friends watching the game than actually watching the game. I remember last year, you know, it was an entertaining game. And despite coming down to overtime, the final play of the game, it just didn't feel that special. I think it's just because we don't have a Cinderella team. And I don't even know if I would have felt this different had it been Bills and Eagles, maybe, but Commanders, Chiefs, I don't know. But this just, we need some form of change, and I just don't see them delivering that. I see Saquon Barkley having a big game. I see Jalen Hurts having a big game, but similar to the last time they faced, I think it's going to come down to a final Chiefs picking the ball off, and they're going to be coming home victorious. I mean, you have to get past both these defenses. These are two tough, tough defenses. But the Chiefs are just experienced, and I think the Chiefs just have everyone's number that they've played, and it won't end here. So we're going to be rooting for the Eagles, which is weird because I'm not actually like a massive Eagles fan. I will say Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley I absolutely adore. Now, as for the Chiefs, there's no real player that I love. Maybe Rashee Rice when he's healthy. As for this, I don't think he's back. So there's no one to really root for. Taylor Swift I'm sick of. It's just silly. It's just silly. So we're going with the Chiefs over the Eagles. 34-30 just from a casual prediction, and we're going to root for the Eagles. Maybe the Eagles will get done, maybe they won't. Does it affect my life? That's the question. No, it doesn't. So that's all we got for that. I mean, there's really nothing much to really dive into. We can look at the stats, the history of the game. That's not really interesting. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles, for goodness sakes. It's the Chiefs and the Eagles. I just cannot stand either of them. So with that, let's get into the bulk of today's episode, which is our UFC 312 predictions. And we're sitting at 26-14 on the year, which isn't too bad through three events. That 14 is just kind of bugging me, but I'm plus 12. And plus 12, you know, we've gotten three on an event, we've gotten four, and then we went, I think, six or eight on another event. But I'm excited for this one. There's a lot of close fights, A lot of these are 50-50. Is this a pay-per-view quality event? I would say no. I would say definitely not. I mean, truly the only fight worth paying for is Justice Duplessis and Sean Strickland, and even that is not worth the entire $80. So we're going to pass on paying for this pay-per-view. I'll just check Twitter to see the highlights of it, but we still got to give our predictions nonetheless. Let's get right on into it. Kicking off the card, we head to the men's flyweight division as Hyung Sung Park, Peace of Mind, Hyung Sung Peace of Mind Park, takes on, oh man, he's back, the Art of Knockout, Nyamdrigal Tumendembrel. I actually think I said his name pretty good, so Nyamdrigal Tumendembrel. I actually think I didn't butcher his name, so I'm good for me, Nyamdrigal. I actually said your name correctly this time. Hyung Sung Park coming in this one 9-0, undefeated. He is the -280 favorite. The 8-1 Nyamdrigal is +225, the underdog. 5'7" for both of these fighters, and a notable 5 inches in reach for Nyamdrigal, 71 inches to 66, an orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Kicking us off, Hyung Sung Park, 29 years old, from Gyeonggi-do, South Korea. Actually, I think I recognize that from, what is it, Squid Games. I think that's one of the cities where they find the people, which is pretty fascinating. Of his 9 wins, 4 knockouts, 4 subs, 8 of 9 victories. By finish, we love to see that. He was actually supposed to fight Andre Lima June 1st of last year, but he was unable to due to pulling out. So in, he will step to face Nyamdrigal. He last fought in December 2023, right at a round 2 knockout of Shannon Ross. And Hyung Sung Park is on the run of a lifetime right now. I mean, since joining the UFC, you know, he had 2 Road to the UFC fights, both round 1 finishes, takes on Sung Jung Choi in his debut, submits him in round 3. Hyung Sung Park has been nothing but dominant, and he steps into this one against Nyamdrigal undefeated. His opponent, the 26-year-old Tumendembrel, of course the underdog at +225, hails from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. Of his 8 wins, 7 finishes, 2 knockouts, and 5 subs. And coincidentally, he was also supposed to fight Andre Lima on that card. Is that not weird? What a weird coincidence. They both stepped in on short notice, and neither of them ended up fighting their opponent. Is that not kind of weird? I don't know. I find it. Nyamdrigal was on the road to the UFC in 2023, fought in November 2024 against Carlos Hernandez in Macau, and lost a 3-round split decision. He landed a knockdown, but he couldn't survive the takedown. So this will be a very interesting one. And one thing I do want to note is that all of the odds for all these fights are super, super close. Along those same lines, O's have been dropping left and right. I mean, think about Umar's lost, Shara's lost. You've had Clayton Carpenter lose. You've had a multitude of undefeated fighters lose this year. And this would be a great opportunity for Hyung Sung Park to suffer a defeat. But I do think he gets past Nyamdrigal, and I think he gets a finish. We're going to go Hyung Sung Park by round 2 knockout, just to make it spicy, just to make it good. You know we got to ride with Hyung Sung Park. Keeping the action going, we go to the men's lightweight division as the debuting Kialin Sakild, I cannot wait till Bruce Buffer says it so I'll actually know how to say it, takes on Anshul, King of Lions, Jubilee. Kialin 7-1, Anshul 7-1 as well. Both men are 6 foot, 6 inches in reach though for Kialin Sakild, 75 to 69, orthodox stance for Kialin. I think it's Kialin, and switch stance for Anshul Jubilee, which is certainly he's going to need that switch stance after what happened last time out. Kialin is the -410 favorite, +320 for the underdog, Anshul Jubilee. Wow, Anshul, far, far fall from grace. Kicking it off, Kialin, 25 years old. He's on a 7-fight win streak, lost his first professional fight by being submitted, and that was in 2021, and he hasn't lost since. He's been fantastic, and adding 2 knockouts and 3 subs of those 7 wins has been phenomenal. He's a hometown boy. He's from Australia. He's actually from Perth, so one of the few cities over. He was the Eternal MMA champion, which is another promotion, so we know how skilled he is. And he fought in Damas Contender Series and landed 9 takedowns en route to a unanimous decision victory. So Kialin, big opportunity here as he takes on Anshul Jubilee. Anshul, 30 years old, from Unturabad, India. Unturabad? He is from India. 3 finishes in those 7 wins, 2 knockouts, and 1 sub. He last fought in 2023, but he actually had a fight booked in April of last year against Muhammad hot shot. Unfortunately, that fight never took place. He was taking on Mike Breeden his UFC debut October 2023, up two rounds, gasses, and gets knocked out halfway through the third. Insane scenes. Anshul was dominant on the road to the UFC and even won in his first fight against Jekasara Guy, TKOing him on the ground. In round number two, Anshul's back. He is a great fighter, but I mean, this Kialin Sakala guy, they're gassing him up. He's a -410 favorite. You know I'm a ride with Kialin Sakala. But this is one of those cards I feel like underdogs can really ride. So if I was a bet man, if I actually placed money on all these, I'd probably be leaning more towards some underdogs. Given the action moving, we're moving up in weight to welterweight as Jonathan the Captain Mikalev. Oh my gosh, these names are so confusing. Takes on Kevin Air Jusset. Kevin Air Jusset back in action. Jonathan 7-1, Kevin 10-3. 6'2" to 6', gives Kevin 2 inches in height, but Jonathan has the reach. 77-75, southpaw for Mikalev, orthodox for Kevin Jusset. Very interesting in this one. Let's start with Kevin. You know, he's looking for a bounce back win. Kevin is looking for a bounce back win. He's coming in as the favorite, -240. 31 years old, born in France, but now lives and trains in Auckland, New Zealand. With those 10 wins, half of them by finish, 4 knockouts and 1 sub. Of his 3 losses, he has been finished twice, both by knockout. Last time out, he fought in September. Brian Battle manhandled him, TKOing him in round number 2. But before that, I mean, submitted Kiefer Crosby in round 1 his UFC debut, then beat Songgate Keenan to end out 2023. So, I mean, he only had one fight. It was against a tough opponent. I think Kevin Jusset is a game fighter, and we'll see if he can bounce back against the underdog, the +200, Jonathan Mikalev, the captain. The captain, Jonathan Mikalev, 25 years old from Werribee, Australia. 2-fight win streak for the 7-1 professional fighter with 5 finishes, 2 knockouts and 3 subs. His one loss, he was knocked out. But I mean, he had a round 1 submission on day 1's contender series against Muhammad Adil. Lasted 3 minutes and was able to land the triangle choke. That's all I needed to see. This is where we go for an underdog as I'm picking Jonathan Mikalev. I gotta. There are going to be some underdogs on this card, and I gotta capitalize when I see them. It's going to be one of these two fights, and I think it kicks off with Jonathan Mikalev. I just think his grappling skills is what's going to get the better of Kevin. I think Kevin's confidence was truly, truly rattled in that last fight out when he got finished by Brian Battle. I think that'll lead to a bit of a lackluster performance from him, but hey, I don't want to say anything. He'll probably prove me wrong. Final early prelim of the night, men's lightweight action as Rong Zhu takes on the debuting Cody Steele. Cody Steele, -240 is the favorite, +195. Rong Zhu is the underdog. 25-6 for Rong Zhu is his professional record. He's only 24 years old. Are you kidding me? Cody Steele at 29, 7-0. Both men are 5'9", 72 inches to 71 inches. Rong Zhu is 1 inch in height. Both men are in the orthodox fighting position. Cody Steele, you know, he's a notable guy if you watched the last season of Dana's Contender Series. The 29-year-old, born in Washington but now lives and trains in Las Vegas, has 5 finishes and his 7 wins, 4 knockouts and 1 sub. And interestingly enough, he was supposed to fight September 24th on Dana's Contender Series, and his opponent got, like, I don't even know what to call it, stage fright. He panicked. His opponent panicked and just wouldn't fight. So they were able to rebook him. He comes back, fights October 8th, and gets a round 2 knockout of Chasen Belair. Took him a while to get Chasen out of there, but eventually he was able to work it together and get the knockout blow. So Cody Steele coming to this one. We know how good of a prospect he is, but man, he's taking on an experienced man who is 5 years younger. The underdog, Rong Zhu from Shanghai, China. 21 finishes and 25 wins. 14 knockouts, 7 subs. Of his 6 losses, he's been finished 5 times. 4 of those times by subs. So Rong Zhu, he's a game fighter. Been with the UFC since 2021. You do the math. He was in here when he was 20 years old. I mean, he was knocking out Brandon Jenkins in 2021. Getting submitted by Ignacio Bomanez in 2022. Knocking out Sung Chung Hoi in 2023. Even beating Shin Haraguchi in February. Last time he fought was in September against Chris Padilla. And the fight was stopped in round number 2. I think it was due to injury, but it might have been to a cut. It was either to injury or cut. My money's actually on a cut Rong Zhu suffered, but we'll have to see. This is a clear underdog pick right here. I mean, Rong Zhu, I mean, you're going to look at Cody Steele, 7-0. He's got the finishes. Rong Zhu is 24 years old and has had over 30 professional fights. He has over quadruple the amount of experience Cody Steele has, and I think Rong Zhu is going to put that to the test. I think he's going to actually get a finish in this one, a submission in round number 2. Book it, take it to the bank. Rong Zhu all day. That is my prediction. keeping our regular prelims afloat, we head to the men's bantamweight division as one of the greatest fighters of all time. That's right, I'm proclaiming him. Ito Piura has his younger brother, the El Conquistador, opposite of the El Matador, the El Conquistador, Alexander Topira, making his UFC debut. He takes on Colby Slickness Thick Knees, who's stepping in on short notice to take on Topira. Topira, minus 410. I mean, that favorite comes with being not only 5-1 with five finishes, but also being the younger brother of the current featherweight champion, Ito Topira. Colby stepping down short notice for Cody Haddon, who had to pull out plus 320. Not too surprised. Topira, 29 years old from Georgia. But now, of course, we know they all live in Spain. That's what the Topiras do. Three knockouts and two subs make up those five wins. He's on a three-fight winning streak. You know, his one loss was a TKO, but he has since bounced back since that took place. His opponent, Colby Thickney, 7-0, making his UFC debut, 25 years old from New South Wales, Australia. Of those seven wins, four finishes, two knockouts and two subs. And he actually won a Hex Fight series belt. Hex Fight Series, another promotion, and he was a champion in that. So now he gets a shot. He gets to prove himself, but I mean, this is like watching, if Ada, every time Muhammad Usman fight, that was the example I was looking for, we're going to pick the younger brother of Kamaru Usman, and similarly to Ito Topira, we got to go with his younger brother. I mean, come on. Five wins, five finishes, making his debut. This will be sink or swim. Okay, he's taking on someone in Colby Thickneys, who is a game opponent, but is also not a known opponent. He's not a popular opponent. If he can easily get through him, there will be big names in Alexander Topira's future. He's a minus 410 favorite for a reason, and I believe he picks up the victory. Keeping us moving, we get our first women's matchup of the evening, first of two, as we head to the women's flyweight division, and she's back, ladies and gentlemen. Dreaded run from it. Wang Kong was inevitable. That is right. Wang Kong back in action in this one. Love to see it. Love to see it. Wang Kong, the Joker, minus 440 is back. I mean, she was minus 900 last fight, and she got finished. Insane. She takes on Bruna Brazil. Bruna Brazil, 10-4-1. She's coming in this one as a plus 340 underdog. Both women are 5'6", 66 inches, 65. Gives Wang 1 inch in reach in southpaw stance, squared orthodox. Wang Kong fights with that left hand forward. The 32-year-old is from Shanghai, China. Her and Rong Zhu, both from Shanghai. Two knockouts and two subs make up her six professional victories. And like I said, she was undefeated, and then she was shockingly finished by Gabriela Fernandez. I honestly think Gabriela took her completely by storm. I think everyone overestimated her abilities. And Wang Kong, man, tough, tough luck. But she's back. Already making a quick little turnaround since November. You love to see it 4 months later. And honestly, I like her odds in this one. But at the same time, they aren't the easiest of odds. So as much as I like her odds, it's not going to be easy going as she takes on Bruna Brazil, 31 years old. The plus 340 underdog is from Piranha, Brazil. Of her 10 wins, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. Of her 4 losses, she's been submitted 3 times. She's gotten win-loss the last 2 years, including losses to Denise Gomez. Wins over Shauna Bannon, lost to Lumen Lukbumi, and most recently in July, beat Molly McCann in front of her home nation of England. So Bruna coming in with some momentum. She actually trains at the Fighting Nerds occasionally with Kyle Barallo, Gene Silva, Carlos Prates, all those dogs. Maybe Stuart Ruffy, another shout out. So this will be a tough matchup here, but I gotta go with Wang Kong. I truly believe it was a slip-up. And if her boy Rong Zhu is going to win, you know we got to ride with Wang Kong. Bruna, you know, she is the type of fighter to beat Molly McCann and then go around and lose to Wang Kong the next fight. That's just the type of fighter she is. And I'm not hating. I'm just simply stating a fact. And both of these women, you know, it's tough going in the women's flyweight division. It's tough to break into. But you have women like Casey O'Neill, Maribel Silva at the bottom, Ariane Silva even coming off a loss. If you can get one big win, two big wins, you can get into the rankings. And I think that's what Wang Kong needs here. And by end of the year, I am predicting Wang Kong will be in the bottom 15 of the top 15. So that's my bold prediction right now. Wang Kong, I'm still backing you. I'm not giving up hope, but it's going to be tough. Let me tell you, going to be tough. Second to last prelim, we're back in the men's lightweight division as the plus 115 underdog Tom Big Train Nolan is back in action against Slavikov Vyacheslav Borshev, who comes in this one at minus 135. The odds makers have this one even Steven. Tom Nolan 8-1, Vyacheslav 8-4-1. Actually thought he had one more loss. 6'3 to 5'11 gives Tom 4 inches in height. He also has 4 inches in reach, 73 to 69. He fights southpaw Vyacheslav Orthodox. This is going to be a striker's delight. Let me tell you that. Tom Nolan coming in this one, 24 years old from Brisbane, Australia. 5 knockouts in those 8 professional victories. And he also has suffered 1 defeat in his entire career. That was to Nicolas Mota in his UFC debut, where I think he was just caught off guard. You know, he followed that up, finishing Victor Martinez, and then put together a full performance against Alex Reyes. So Tom Nolan hasn't had the easiest going in the UFC, but he's back, he's hungry, and he takes on a very, very talented striker in Vyacheslav Borshev. 33 years old, born in Volgograd, Russia, now lives in Sacramento, California. Of those 8 wins, make it 6 knockouts. Vyacheslav has just had a tough go. I can't lie. He has just been facing tough opponent after tough opponent. I mean, debuts with a knockout over Chris Duncan on the AOS Contender Series with a round 1 knockout to Cole Bush. Then gets outgrappled by Mark Dekise. Then gets outgrappled by Mike Davis. In 2 UFC fights, taken down a combined 20 times. Follows it up with a performance of the night knockout of Mahashat. Delivers a fight of the night. I mean, one of the better fights of 2023 against Nazim Sadikov in a draw. Takes on Chase Hooper, but Chase Hooper's in his prime right now. Gets demolished. Then most recently fought in August and won a split decision over James Lontop, who he barely outstruck 96 it was to 93, I believe, using my memory. But as for this one, you know, if it's straight striking, I'm going to be honest, I'm backing Vyacheslav. There's some about him, and I know Tom, he's from Brisbane. He's got the hometown crowd. He's got the nation behind him. But Vyacheslav Borshev, I think, is still good. Now, is this my last chance at picking him? Yes. I've been giving Vyacheslav credit since his debut, but I truly believe he is talented. This is just going to be one of those moments if I am proven wrong or not. But I think in the striking and the power, he can get the better of Tom. And plus, I saw Victor Martinez almost knock out Tom Nolan. Okay, I'm not going to forget like that didn't happen. If Vyacheslav hit with the same combo, he's going lights out. But we're going to be back in Vyacheslav Borshev in this one, and I'll even go round 1 knockout just to spice it up. With that, we get to our final prelim, and guys, you know, this is obviously not a pay-per-view worthy card, but this is still a fantastic fight in the featherweight division as Jack Farr Jenkins takes on Gabriel Moschidino Santos. Jack coming in this one 13-3, Gabriel 11-2, or Gabriel, I should better say. 5'9 to 5'7, Santos has 2 inches in height. He also has 2 inches in reach, 70-68. Switch stance for Jenkins, watching with those leg kicks, and orthodox for Santos, the power striker. He also uses his grappling. I should add that too. Jack Jenkins, plus 190, is the underdog. A 31-year-old is from Victoria, Australia. 9 finishes in those 13 wins, 6 knockouts, 3 subs. And all of his losses, he has been finished, unfortunately. It's been a bolt war. Okay, this dude's been in wars, taking on Don Shannis, taking on Emilio Lamarez, taking on Jamal Emmers, having to fight Chepe Mariscal, but most recently, in August, picking up a win over Herbert Burns, his first UFC finish in my eyes, and he's back. He's back, guys. Jack Jenkins is such a fun fighter to watch, and he has so much potential. And, you know, even though he's 31, he's still getting into his prime. His opponent, Gabriel Santos, I mean, the minus 230 favorite, is a favorite for a reason. 28 years old from Curitiba, Brazil. 7 finishes in those 11 wins, 3 knockouts, 4 subs. Had to take on Leroy Murphy and David Onama in his first two UFC fights. I mean, are you kidding me? Leroy Murphy and David Onama are two of the baddest mofos on the planet, especially in the men's featherweight division. Got a win in September over Yeezha. That's right, Yeezha. Singular plural name, Yeezha. And beat him handsomely. So Gabriel has finally put together, but this is tough. This is a really tough, tough matchup. I think Gabriel, you know, we know how good his striking and grappling is, but I truly believe he's going to want to take this to the ground. Jack Jenkins is just not someone you want to stand with. And when I've watched him stand with Leroy Murphy and David Onama, I have seen him struggle. So we are going to pick Jack Jenkins to get this one done. He's the underdog. He's a hometown boy. And I'm just picturing myself watching this fight. And when I'm watching it, who am I going to be rooting for? It's going to be Jack Jenkins. I can just see it. He's a fun fighter. His leg kicks are legendary. I'm excited to see this fight on the prelims, which honestly could be on the main card. Because as we get into the main card, folks, I mean, it's nothing special. It's nothing special, but it's better than nothing. We got to find the positive. Welterweight action gets us going as Jake the Celtic Kick Matthews is finally back in action as he takes on the dangerous Argentinian Francisco Prado. Jake Matthews, 20-7. Francisco, 12-2. 5'11 to 5'10. Jake's got 1 inch in height. He also has 4 inches in reach, 73-69. Orthodox stance for both of these young gentlemen. Francisco is plus 180 as the underdog. Jake Matthews is the favorite at minus 220. Jake, you know his case, man. It's crazy he's only 30. Crazy he's only 30, and he's been fighting in the UFC for 11 years. This dude debuted when he was 20. okay. This dude is just so, so seasoned. 30 years old from Melbourne, Australia. 13 finishes in those 20 wins. And it's been pretty good. 5 knockouts, 8 subs. Of his 7 losses, he's been finished 4 times, once by knockout, 3 by submission. And just listen to some of these guys he's had to take on already. James Vick, Kevin Lee, Li Jingliang, Anthony Rocco Martin, Diego Sanchez, Sean Brady, Andre Fialo, Matthew Semelsberger, Michael Morales, which was his last defeat. And most recently, he beat Phil Rowe by a unanimous decision June 1st of 2024. Jake Matthews, we know how good he is. We know how good he is. We know everything about him. Sometimes he lands a takedown. Sometimes he just stands on the feet and strikes. We'll have to see. Obviously, the name of the game is the submissions. Those 8 submissions speak for themselves, but we will see how he does against the man who's the same freaking age as me, the 22-year-old, the plus 180, Francisco Prado. I love the name Francisco. Born in Argentina, but now he lives in Miami. Ooh, he's getting it on. 6 knockouts, 6 subs make up his 12 wins, giving him a 100% finish rate. You know, both of his losses, both unanimous decisions, last time out against Daniels Aluber in February in Mexico, I mean, a fight of the night. Dude was such a dog. Does have a round one finish of Ottoman Azatir in the UFC. I don't know what to do here, because my thing is Jake Matthews, I feel, has always been someone who could fight someone in the rankings and give him a run for the money, but Prado has just been on such a roll. It's hard to see him losing, and especially coming to this one, he's had some time to rest. His fight against Luber was just so awesome. You know, being out 8 months, being out a year, it's not too much of a difference. Jake Matthews is the hometown boy, but I mean, I gave Kellen Sakalid, I gave Jonathan Mikolaev, I've given Jack Jenkins the nod. I think I'm going to go against an Australian here, and I'm going to pick Francisco Prado. These are all risky picks. These are all 50-50 picks. This is not a card I'm confident in, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not ride or die on anyone except Driscus in the main event. That's like one of the only guys, not to spoil my pick, but the only guys I'm really rooting for. Other than that, I'm pretty much okay with any other results. So we'll pick Prado, but if Jake Matthews does show up, I will not be surprised. But I am hoping Prado, since he's the same age as me, can get a victory. And he's already had 14 professional fights. Incredible. Light heavyweight action is next on the docket, and we get the return of Jimmy Crew. Jimmy Crew used to be in the light heavyweight rankings and then just went on an unfortunate run. The plus 120 underdog takes on the minus 140 favorite, Rodolfo Trattor Bellato. Trader Trattor, I don't know how to say his name. 6'2" to 6'3", these are some tall boys. Bellato has an inch in height. He has 3 inches in reach, 77 to 74. Orthodox stance for both of these gentlemen. Let's kick it off with Jimmy Crute. Surprised he doesn't have a nickname. I thought Jimmy had a nickname, but I guess not. Jimmy, 28 years old from Melbourne, Australia. 9 finishes in his 12 wins, 5 knockouts, 4 subs, and all of his 4 losses have came by finish, unfortunately. He was actually supposed to fight Marcin Procinio on this card, but instead steps in Rodolfo Bellato. Jimmy started out his UFC career a very stellar 4-1, his only loss to Misha Cirkunov, and he had multiple finishes in all of those matchups. Then he ran to Anthony Smith and injured his leg. Then he ran to prime Jamal Hill and got knocked out. Then he had 2 back-to-back wars against Lon Zolmenafield, taking damage in both and getting submitted in the second. So he hasn't fought since July 2023, but Jimmy Crute is so good. Jimmy Crute is so good, and let's not act like his last 3 losses have been to the number 15, the number 14, and the number 4 fighters in the men's light heavyweight division, okay? Now, as much as those guys are talented, you could be like, oh, Jimmy, I'll have a walk in the park here. Rodolfo Bellato is no joke. The 29-year-old from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, is on a 4-fight winning streak. 11 finishes in 12 victories. He's been incredible. Both his losses have came by KO, but I mean, 7 knockouts for him, 4 subs. He's actually supposed to fight Omar Sy May 18th, so that fight didn't come to fruition. He hasn't fought since 2023, but when he did, he had a fight of the night knockout of Ayoa Portero. So Rodolfo Bellato is super good, but I'm not going to forget when he got knocked out by Vitor Petrino. I'm not going to forget that at all. Rodolfo Bellato is super talented, but he's back, guys. He has had so much time to prepare. He has been training. He has been working his butt off, and I'm not betting against Jimmy frickin' Crute. I mean, Jimmy effing Crute. Make it his new nickname. I gotta ride with the man. I used to be such a fan of his. I picked him in every single one of those fights except the Alonzo Menafield fights. I knew he wasn't going to win that, but I thought he would beat Jamal Hill. I thought he would beat Anthony Smith. He was so close in that Anthony Smith fight, man. He showed such heart. I think this is where he bounces back. Picks up one over Rodolfo Bellato. I'm seeing decision. I'm seeing a gritty war. This could be a potential fight of the night. This is going to be fantastic. We're going to back Jimmy Crute. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we get into our first heavyweight fight of the night. And just so you know, it's the final heavyweight fight of the night as we are graced with the presence of the great, the legendary, the bad man, Justin Taffa, as he takes on Taliesin Egasio-Teixeira. Oh, man. Oh, man, someone's going to sleep. Someone's going to sleep. I know I said someone's going to sleep in Sergey Pavlovich, Jorginho Rozenstruik. Someone's actually going to sleep here. Taliesin, minus 155. Justin Taffa, plus 130. The odds are super, super close. 7-4 with 1-0 contest for Taffa. 7-0 undefeated for Taliesin Teixeira. 6'7" to 6' for Taliesin Teixeira with a 9-inch reach, 83 to 74. He's got so much size on him. It's actually insane. Taliesin, 25 years old from Sao Paulo, Brazil. 6 knockouts and 1 sub in his 7 victories. 100% finish rate. He was actually supposed to fight Lucas Brzezinski in December, but unfortunately that fight never came to fruition. He had a fight on Dana White's Contender Series where he got a 2-minute knockout. Now he's earned himself a spot in Sydney, Australia against Justin Taffa. And Justin Taffa's reputation precedes him. If you know UFC, you know Justin Taffa. 31 years old, born in New Zealand, but now lives in Brisbane, Australia. 7 knockouts in 7 wins. And, I mean, only of his 4 losses, he only ever been knocked out once. Okay, that's not even that bad at all. And that 1 knockout loss was in his debut. He was so green in that, he was not ready. He was supposed to fight Kenny and Chukani on October 26th, had to pull out of that fight. So he hasn't fought since March of 2024 when Carl Williams grappled him to death. But I mean, what more do I need to say? The Austin Lane knockout, the Parker Porter knockout, the Harry Hunsucker knockout. This dude is incredible to watch. His only losses, split decision, Carlos Felipe. I did not think he lost that. Jared Vandera in a fight of the night, did not think he lost that. The Carlos Williams loss was bad, but Taliesin Teixeira is not going to grapple. And I saw Austin Lane have a size advantage over Justin Taffa and not be able to get it done. Now, here's the thing with Justin Taffa. Let's not forget, we made his debut. He was in Australia, and he got knocked out. Now, he did bounce back from that at UFC 284 when he knocked out Parker Porter in front of an Australian crowd, and he did pick up a win over Austin Lane and with an Australian crowd in 2023. So, as much as Taliesin Teixeira is a looming threat, we have a new mystical fighter, and it is a fully healthy Justin Taffa in Australia. I got back Justin Taffa. I really do. Plus, he's, you know, he's plus 130. The odds are close. He's a real underdog. Size-wise, career-wise, I mean, here you are, Justin Taffa, coming off a really bad loss where it kind of exposed that you're not a full mixed martial artist. Couldn't stop any takedowns. Now he's taking on an absolute killer who's supposed to come in off the Dana White's Contender Series and take his place. Absolutely not. I got Justin Taffa winning, and I got Justin Taffa moving into the number 15 or 14 spot in the men's heavyweight rankings and even getting a ranked opponent next. That's right. Bold predictions here. But might I add, if Taliesin beats Justin Taffa, he's also going to the rankings. Winner of this, I think, goes to the rankings. It just only seems fitting. With that, we get to our co-main event, and finally, we have a ranked fighter as we have the number 2 pound-for-pound woman on the planet, your woman's strawweight champion, the reigning defending Zhang Weili, as she takes on the number 1 contender, the undefeated, the number 10 pound-for-pound woman on the planet, Tatiana Suarez. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. I'm excited for this one. This fight should have happened a long time ago, and hopefully with this matchup taking place in the early part of the year, we can actually get multiple women's strawweight matchups in the same year for the first time since 2022. Okay, it's been a long time coming. 3 years to be exact. Zhang Magnum Li, 25-3. Tatiana Suarez, no nickname to her name, 11-0. 5'5-5'4. Tatiana has 1 inch in height. Yes, she has 3 inches in reach. Wow, 66-63. Southpaw with the left for Tatiana. Switch stance for Zhang Weili. She throws so many things at her opponents. Zhang is coming in this one at minus 120. Tatiana at plus 100. But the odds have been flip-flopping between these two. Just know it's about as even as it gets. I think people are underestimating Zhang Weili a bit in this one. And, you know, don't ever do that. Let me just tell you. 35 years old, born in China, but now lives and trains in Las Vegas. She has 19 finishes in her 25 wins, 11 knockouts, and 8 subs. And mind you, the only woman to beat her in the UFC of her 3 professional losses, how about 2 of them go to Rose Namajunas? Since losing that second fight to Rose Namajunas, which honestly I thought she won personally, she has knocked out Joanna Jędrzejczyk, submitted Carla Esparza, had a performance of the night 5-round demolition of Amanda Lemos, and co-main evented UFC 300 beating Yan Chai Onan. Zhang Weili, always happy to see her fight. She's been cleaning out the division. toughest test to date. I'm telling you right now, Jan Chonin was tough. You know, Rosamund Yunus gave a run for money. Tatiana Suarez is going to prove the most difficult of any of her opponents. The 34-year-old from California has 7 finishes in those 11 wins, 2 knockouts, and 5 subs. She was actually supposed to fight Amanda Lemos in February, Vera Jandidova in December. Both of those fights fell apart, and here she has just wound up with the title shot. It's crazy how she deserved the title shot back in February, waited the whole year, and now she has it. Didn't fight at all in 2024. Went 2-0 in 2023 after taking a 4-year layoff. Had 2 round 2 performance of the night guillotine chokes in that one. None bigger than against Jessica Andrade. And what style you get from Tatiana Suarez. Now, mind you, she can only shock you with a big punch. But she has that Khabib. She has that Dagestani-style chain wrestling. Always wanting to take you down. Hunting for the finish. That is kind of the name of the game for Zhang Weili as well. So, if this is on the feet, I'm giving this to Zhang Weili. Tatiana Suarez is going to have to prove to me she can overcome the anti-grappling of Zhang Weili. Because when I look at who Zhang Weili has fought in the past, I mean, Carla Esparza, she exposed her grappling, took complete advantage of her. Joanna Jędrzejczyk exposed her striking. Amanda Lemos had nothing to offer. And as for Jan Chaonin was beating her on the feet with power punches. She just took her down and controlled her. So we know how dominant Zhang Weili is. As much as I really wanted to pick Tatiana Suarez and would be happy if she won, I just don't see it. I think Zhang Weili retains. I think she gets through the test of Tatiana Suarez. She does it with the kick. She does it with the body shots. She does it with the striking. And if she can defend the takedowns, I think she's going to have a successful night. Plus, I mean, we're kicking off the year. Islam and Marab said, no go. We're not giving up our belts. Honestly, I think it's going to be a while before we get a title change in 2025, which leads us into our next matchup. So we pick Zhang Weili. But now we get the rematch, which, no one really asked for a rematch. We're going to be honest. We don't really ask for this. I'm just going to be real with you. But the number one contender in the middleweight division, Sean Strickland, number 14-pound-for-pound fighter, takes on the number 7-pound-for-pound fighter, your men's middleweight reigning defending champion. We can finally say that. He got title defense. That is the man, Driscus Duplessis. Driscus Duplessis still knocks. That's his nickname, and he's still knocking on the door of trying to become the greatest middleweight of all time. Sean Strickland comes into this one 29-6, going for his 30th victory this weekend. Driscus Duplessis, 22-2, makes his 25th appearance in a caged matchup. 6'1" is the height for both these men. 76 inches is the reach for both these men. The only difference, Sean fights orthodox, Driscus fights switch stance. And Driscus's style, I don't even know what you want to call it. I mean, he is just as unorthodox as it gets. This boy is just so goofy, which is funny because he fights one of the most orthodox fighters on the roster in Sean Strickland. As of right now, Sean plus 170 is the underdog. Driscus is minus 210. This is an even odds fight. This is any man's game, but there's one man that I think has been carrying some more momentum the last few months, especially in 2024, and that's Driscus Duplessis. 31 years old from Hatfield, South Africa, currently on a 10-fight winning streak of his 22 wins, 20 finishes, 9 knockouts, 11 subs. He's only ever been the distance twice in his career. One of those times was against Sean Strickland. Dude had a phenomenal 2024. Beats Sean Strickland in the first fight of the year, and then submits Israel Adesanya. Back before it was cool to finish Israel Adesanya, yeah, Driscus was out here finishing Adesanya. So, incredible stuff to see Driscus fight again, and I'm just high on Driscus Duplessis for some reason. I've been a fan of him. I've been picking him in all of his matchups, and I don't know if it's a good change here, but nonetheless, Sean Strickland, 33 years old from Las Vegas, 15 finishes in those 29 wins, 11 knockouts, 4 subs. He's been knocked out twice in his 6 losses. Sugar Sean is not the name. It is Sean. I don't even know what you want to call him. His nickname, Sean Booga Strickland. I don't even know. Something weird. Sean, man, 2024, loses to Driscus, then puts on the worst fight, the worst co-main event, definitely, of 2024, and that was that fight against Paulo Costa. 5 rounds of just sparring. Was it sparring? He had one moment where he went for a cool kick at the end. That's the only highlight they can show. But Sean Strickland, 4-1 in his last 5. I mean, dude has wins over Nazarene Imavov, Abus Magomedov, Israel Adesanya, and Paulo Costa. Only losses to Driscus Duplessis. This guy is as tough as it gets. Now, when it boils down to it, I'm picking Driscus Duplessis. Okay, and unlike the first fight, I see him getting a finish here. I think the one thing that Sean Strickland has been lacking is the fact that Driscus Duplessis has gotten better with every single performance. Okay, and Sean Strickland can go out, win 5 rounds over Adesanya. Driscus submitted him and almost knocked him out. All right, Sean Strickland, he can go five rounds with Paul Koska. Driscus goes out and knocks out Robert Whitaker in round number two. Driscus Duplessis is so underrated, so underappreciated, and he's going to have a breakout moment here. Round two, armbar on Sean Strickland. We're getting feisty. We're getting frisky. You know, if it's not an armbar in round two, it could be any form of submission. It could be a knockout. He can even go the full distance. I was kind of noticing when they go to Australia, they usually do have kind of five-round decisions. I'm thinking UFC 272, UFC 284, UFC 293. So that trend might continue here. I hope it doesn't. But nonetheless, we're picking Driscus Duplessis, and the winner of this has a date with Khamzat Chimaev. So I wouldn't really want to be the winner of this. I mean, I don't know. The benefit of the doubt I'm giving to both of these guys if they take on Khamzat. But I would think Driscus would have a much better shot being Khamzat than Sean Strickland. But guys, card isn't that hot. Card isn't that deep. But nonetheless, it's UFC. We love UFC. And you best bet we're going to be watching this Saturday. And I actually think my plans were canceled. I was supposed to go somewhere, but it's snowing. So I'll be all snowed in actually having to watch this card. And guys, that's all we got for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for joining me. It's going to be fun, you know, the Super Bowl with all my buddies, watching UFC with all my buddies, just hanging out with all the boys. Remember, it's not what you do, it's the memories you make. That made more sense in my head. But guys, try and take something motivational from this episode. Start a podcast. Chase your dreams. I love each and every one of you. And if you don't know how we end every episode, let me just tell you, I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.